Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, September 10th, 2021, and that's right, it is Red Friday, finally, as we get ready for the Chiefs and the Browns on Sunday. And right now, we're very happy to have our good friend and Chiefs Hall of Famer, Daron Cherry, in studio to talk football with us. Daron, good morning. How are you?
Steven, I'm doing great. How are you? Been up early this morning, selling some flags. It's been good. Good morning.
They had you out in Lee Summit?
Lee Summit.
How was it?
Yeah, it was great. We were at the Quick Trip out there, sitting on the corner with a lot of good Chiefs fans, Redcoaters, and Danon Hughes and I were out there selling some flags, raised money for charity.
That's right, for a great cause, and obviously out there and interacting with some great Chiefs fans, selling the Chiefs Kingdom flags. And so now you've come in here to talk with us, and we're going to talk about some events that you've got coming up here in a little bit. But let's tackle this game. Let's get into the Chiefs and the Browns, because unfortunately there's some things that are up in the air right now that are going to have major impacts on the game. And the number one, and you're the perfect person to talk about this, Tyrann Mathieu is on the COVID list, and so we don't know if he's going to play or not. And so, obviously, if he plays, then tremendous help to the Chiefs. He's one of the best safeties in the league. Yep. But Steve Spagnuolo said they got to kind of protect him from himself even if he plays, and so he might be on a little bit of a snap count to try to take care of him, because he's been gone over a week now. But let's plan for the worst and hope for the best. So how does this affect things if Tyrann Mathieu doesn't play on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns? Spags talked about plan A, plan B, plan C. What is plan B if Tyrann Mathieu's not out there?
Well, his backup has got to be ready to step up and take over. You can't replace a player like Tyrann Mathieu in your lineup. I mean, he just brings too many intangibles to that position and to their defense, because he's a leader out there. He gets people lined up. He puts them in the right place. But he's also there to make plays, and he makes big plays in big games. And you just can't find someone else to duplicate that. All you can ask for is that somebody steps in and just holds up the fort, right? Just doesn't make mistakes, doesn't give up big plays, because you can't replace a player like that.
And a guy like that, obviously, what he does, on the field, in the performance, but the leadership, kind of being the quarterback, back there and making sure everyone's in the right spot. There's intangibles that make it very difficult for the Chiefs to replace, especially against a team, against an offense that has so many weapons like the Cleveland Browns.
Oh yeah, and when you see the Browns' offense, especially Baker starting to improve a little bit, he's got some certified weapons at his disposal. So you're always concerned about that, because, how do you cover a team that has, such talented wide receivers, and where they can hurt you in two ways, right? Because they have a potent running attack with Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And if they're balanced, especially running the ball, and you get them into situations that you don't want to be in defensively, they have an advantage, because they can utilize that play-action pass, which Baker is really good at. And
Hunt's a great receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah, Hunt's a great receiver, and so is Chubb, for that matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you want to say, okay, how do you pick your poison? But then when you're handicapped, when you don't have your best players out there on the field, it's even more pressure on the defense to make plays.
Okay, so like you said, if Matthew's not out there, then other people have to step up. There's only four safeties on the roster besides Mathieu. There's only three. You got Sorensen, you got Thornhill, and you got Armani Watts. Right. I want to ask you about Thornhill, because it's been very interesting to see how they've handled him in the preseason. He was playing, I mean, he was like second on the team in snaps, like the first game behind mm-hmm. Josh Kando. He's playing 40 snaps. He's playing deep into the game. Up at practice, up in St. Joe, he was running with the twos and the threes. And then you heard Andy Reid talking about, hey, we want to get him right. We want to get him back to where he's feeling good about himself. Steve Spagnuolo said the same thing. And then after he had that super athletic interception in the end zone, remember, in the preseason, after the game, then he even said, you know, I feel like I'm back now. I've got that confidence back. And it's taken a long time for him to come back from that injury. And you know what it's like after having a devastating injury to go back on the field, not just physically, but to have to get your mind right mentally. What have you thought about the way that they've tried to bring him back slowly, because they may have to lean on him more than they planned on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm all in favor of the way they handled him, bringing him back. I know just from my experience of having the same injury, torn ACL, it took me some time to get back to where I felt comfortable. That first year I was in a knee brace, and, you know, mentally you're wondering if you can handle the stress of it all. And it was funny, we were out last night. It was a group of us, Neil Smith, Christian Okoye, Donnie Edwards.
Right? Oh, geez.
Man, that's a crew
going on there.
Crew, we had some fun. But we were reminiscing about that. Christian goes, hey, tell the story about the time you hit me in practice. And I said,
Let's hear that one.
I was coming off of my knee injury, coming back from it, and we're in practice. Of course, Marty, you know, on Thursdays, it's a very physical practice, and Christian's running through the hole, and it's like team drill, and you come up, and you put a thud on the guy. Well, I came up. Christian's running full speed. He comes through the hole. I come up, and I hit him as hard as I could hit him. And he gets up, and he's mad, right? Hey, man, why you hit me like that, man? And I said, Christian, you know, I'm coming back this week. It's my first game back. If I can hit you and my knee can hold up to that, then I know I'm ready to go.
He didn't like it.
And he looks at me and he goes, okay, man, I understand.
Well, so, I mean,
but it takes time. I mean, you don't know. I mean, mentally, in your mind, you think you can do it, but you're not sure until you're in that action, until you're hitting somebody. And so I know how he feels about, you know, inching him back, getting him to come back in there, you know, at his pace, mentally getting him ready to go. I saw last year, early in the year, where he was very hesitant, right? He wasn't sure of himself. By the end of the year, it looked like to me that he had started to gain his confidence back, and that he was making plays. And then I thought Spags could depend on him more in the secondary as an option, right? And so having another year where you feel really comfortable about where your knee is physically, mentally now, he's much stronger. So I think that's what you're seeing when they're all talking about, you know, this is his time to step up. I think he's past that point where he realizes his knee is as stable as it's going to be, and mentally he can be 100% prepared to get out there and play the way he used to.
I'm highly qualified to talk about this, Stephen, because I do play in over 30
right.
soccer league. I tore my ACL.
Sound the siren.
Yeah, there you go.
Do it right now.
But I tore my ACL playing basketball right over here at Tomahawk Ridge when I was 30 years old. And the thing for me, Duron, was like I wanted to come back and try to play just, you know, lunch league basketball and things like that. I tore my ACL going up for a rebound. I had gone up for a rebound, and I landed on a guy's foot, and my knee twisted. And when I came back, I was cleared to play basketball. Like, my doctor's like, look, you've passed all the steps you're supposed to pass. You can go play basketball. I remember I didn't want to go up for a rebound for 6 months because it was on my mind. Every time I would jump, I was worried, how am I going to land? And I was thinking about it. And then after you played for enough time, to me the biggest hurdle was I don't even remember that I have a torn ACL when I'm playing now. It just doesn't even cross my mind.
When you were coming back, did you try to hit Christian Okoye?
I never
sure
tried to knock
right?
Christian Okoye down or anything.
All right.
But I'm like, you know, I feel like if now you take it, that's just playing lunch league basketball. Now you're playing in the NFL. You got a million things to process in lightning speed. You can't be questioning whether or not your body can do the job. That just can't even be part of your thought process. If it is, I can't imagine how much that slows you down. Is that part of it, just getting to the point where you're not even thinking about your knee anymore because you just know it's good?
Yeah, I think once you get that confidence, you know it's good. And that's why those trainers are so good. You know, the job that they do to get these guys back in shape, back in condition after an injury, where they can feel that confidence that they're 100% okay. And so, you know, psychologically, you know, those trainers do an amazing job of getting guys ready and saying, hey, look, you're okay. That knee is fine. It's all right. You can go out there and do whatever you used to do because you worked hard. You've gone through all the rehab that you can go through. There's nothing more that we can do. It's all about you now. Mentally, you have to understand that you're ready to go.
And it takes some reps to do that, though,
yes.
Right?
Like, yeah, you got to have the reps. And that's the thing. You get back on the field, and, you know, it's just like anything. You know, you get knocked down, you got to get back up and go.
Hey, so to build off of the Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill conversation, a couple things I wondered about. Number one, like, in Spags' defense, there's so much versatility. He'll use Mathieu in sometimes he looks like a linebacker. Sometimes he looks like a corner. Sometimes he looks like a free safety. And he likes to use guys in different roles like that. Do you think it's a situation where he might not just ask one person to do his job? There might be different guys you move around in those situations?
Oh, sure. I mean, I could see the scenario where Sorensen is playing the strong safety position, where mm-hmm. Tyrann Mathieu played and put Juan Thornhill back there at free safety. I could see that scenario if, you know, Tyrann can't go, right? So, you know, they're all versatile. They can be interchangeable, and I think that's the beauty of this defense and his scheme is that they're interchangeable parts. And so what one guy does maybe on third and, you know, second and third down, a guy on first down could do something different, right? So you can interchange that. But based on the defense that you're calling, you know your strengths and what each player's strength is, so you can adjust accordingly, and I think Spags does a good job at that.
And see, the other thing that is going to be interesting to watch, whether or not Tyrann Mathieu comes back, is you know, Willie Gay Jr. is on IR designated to return, mm-hmm. and there was so much excitement about him. And boy, what a great time to have Willie Gay Jr. out there against this kind of offense with those running backs and this passing game and Hunt out of the backfield. But they spent a second-round pick on Nick Bolton, and so he gets to step up. And I know Ben Neiman's listed as starter, but you're going to see a lot from Nick Bolton. Nate's pointed out when you heard Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo talk about Nick Bolton, they both talked about his ability to quickly grasp the offense, that the game's not too big for him. He understands these things. He played at Mizzou where he was a captain. He was a team leader. He was a heart and soul of that defense.
And he's fast. He plays fast.
He plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Right. I like what he did in the preseason.
And so what about that? Now, Willie Gay didn't have the benefit of a full offseason and preseason last year. Bolton gets that this year, and it feels like he's equipped to come in and step in and help game one. What about a rookie linebacker now being asked to? And especially, let's say Tyrann Mathieu's not there in the middle of the defense, and Willie Gay Jr.'s not there, and Frank Clark's got the hamstring issue, and Derek Nottie's got the hip issue. This is a big moment for this could be the kind of game where Nick Bolton really shows why they gave where they made him a pick in the second round.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the young guys have to step up. I mean, you're in the big boy league now, so you're not a rookie, you know, in a sense, in name only. As far as your playing ability, you know, this team is expecting you to step in and make plays. Not everybody succeeds, but there's some that are capable of doing it. Nick Bolton seems like a guy who's capable of at least, you know, spelling somebody, getting some reps in, getting some downs in, and making plays. He's got tremendous ability. He's a very good athlete. He can run. He's got that pop, and he makes plays. So you got to give a young guy like that the flashes that he showed in the preseason has to give Spags confidence that this kid can come in the regular season and make some plays. You know, we don't know how many snaps he'll play, but the snaps that he'll play could be an advantage for our defense.
Okay, let's talk about the guys that they are going to have out there that we expect to take big strides and become even better. And the top of the list is L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah.
This kid was a fourth-round pick last year. And we talk about, you know, Willie Gay and other rookies having trouble making that transition because they didn't get preseason games and they didn't have the full complement of offseason workouts. Darius Need stepped in and played at a damn near Pro Bowl level, and they had, was it CBS Sports or someone did a redraft of what the draft would be now based on their performance, and they had him like as a top 10 pick. That's how good this kid was. So tell me what you like about him and how much better he can become, because that's a guy, I mean, he played safety in college. He could play all over the place like Nate was talking about with Spags, utilizing these guys in whatever way they need him for that specific matchup.
Well, what I see out of him is confidence, you know, confidence in his ability. You know, most young players that come into the league, there's always that little bit of nervousness that you see because you're not sure of yourselves. This kid is sure of himself and sure of his talent. And, you know, he's got tremendous speed. He's physical. He gets after people. He's not intimidated. That's the one thing I haven't seen. He's never been intimidated by who he's lining up across from. You know, he makes it happen. So when you have a kid that has that kind of confidence, he reminds me a lot of Albert Lewis when Albert Lewis came in. You know, I see you going, sitting back in your chair. I felt something good.
I swear to God,
Jake,
I was thinking that.
I felt that day in my plums.
Oh, you're so full of it.
I swear to God.
Why did you say it?
You know what? Because I feel like I was going to get shouted down by Jake for, like, comparing him to a Hall of Famer, you know?
We've had a year over here to say that.
Guys, I didn't mean to bring a fight in here. But
you know what? It's
body tight. Speed,
yes.
You know, coming from a smaller school, so to speak, you know, what, I mean, that's a great comp.
Yeah.
Oh, if he turns out to be Albert Lewis, I mean, that's, people forget.
He was you, one of the, Albert he Lewis, was one Kevin of the Ross, Lloyd Burris.
That secondary was incredible. Yeah, for young Chiefs fans that don't know, that secondary was incredible. Mm-hmm. And Albert Lewis was a huge part of it.
Albert Lewis also blocked your punt.
He blocked punts. He did it all. So that's what I see in him, you know, is that type of athletic ability, that type of confidence, that type of playmaking ability where he can shut a guy down. And you don't always see that in young players, but I see it in him. So that's a good thing. I mean, I think that's why the Chiefs were able to make the moves in the offseason to let some guys go, because they knew they had a guy that's capable of handling that position out there.
It tells you how much they thought of him, too, is they were willing to move him around a little bit, you know, playing at actual corner, playing in the slot. I mean, for a rookie to get, it was like they knew he could handle those responsibilities or else Spagnuolo wouldn't have put him in those situations.
Right, and that's exactly what we did when Albert was a rookie. You know, he played in the slot. He played the guy, and usually that's your best receiver, and, you know, he had that ability to do that.
You make a good point, because they were willing to walk away from Bashaud Breeland, and Bashaud Breeland did not sign for very much money with the Vikings. And when it happened, I was... I didn't like it very much, because I think Breeland was underrated for what he did for the team the past couple of years. But then they also brought in Mike Hughes. And he was a recent first-round pick, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. But he came in, and he looked very good in camp. And so I'm just curious, like, what you thought when they walked away from Bashaud Breeland. But now when you look at the starting three corners – between Ward and Snead and Mike Hughes, if he stays healthy, you've got good depth in Rashad Fenton.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Baker is still making his way back, talking about coming back from an injury.
And he was a number one pick.
He's got pedigree as well.
Yep.
How do you feel about that group? And what did you think when Breeland, they let him go, and versus now, how you feel about the step chart?
I feel good about where they're at, and the fact that they had to let Rashad Breeland go. I mean, I don't think that. You know, I think that they were looking at more of the younger players who were showing that ability. If you've got a choice between the same player, the player you had last year, and a new up-and-coming player that shows that same talent and ability, you know, the older guy is going to go, right? You're going to keep the younger guy and give him the opportunity to get that experience, because that's only going to make you better as you get down the road, you know, in the season and late in the year, where you're able to get them in there, get them some reps, get them that experience. Whereas if you had an older player who you know is on the outside looking in, you know, you're just wasting, you're buying time, you're wasting time. So I think they've made a good decision in doing that and getting rid of Rashad Breeland.
And I liked what I saw from Hughes up in camp. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. He could be a nice addition. We've got Deron Cherry in studio. We're going to talk about some events coming up that Deron Cherry and his foundation are a big part of. We'll do that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You know, Deron, I like having you on the show anyway, but one of my favorite things about having you on the show is I get to go on social media and I get to tweet that picture.
I was gonna say that
picture.
Yeah, that's that picture of me and you.
We both had some good hair at one point.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that's two good heads of hair right there. I don't know what happened.
It's all gone now.
All of it. It's all gone. I mean, that's, you know, how do you just, for people that haven't seen this, Nate, how do you describe that? It's one of my favorite pictures. What do you see there?
You look, I got to be honest, though, the look on your face looks like, Mom, are you really making me do this?
Steven's very nervous to be standing next to his favorite player.
Yeah.
Is what that is. But as you see, I do have the Wolfpack shirt on, so that's very exciting for everybody.
We actually posted that picture on our foundation page today.
The best part is Durando's leading in, like, get in here, young man.
Come on, man.
It's a big picture. You know,
come on, stand up straight.
Hey, someday.
See that damn turf in the back, too.
Right? Green turf.
How was that turf?
Oh.
Right.
Brutal.
You know what? I was thinking about just how much the game has changed, like watching the game last night, and I know it's a different – it's taken us all so long – at least it's taken me a long time to come around and accept the changes to the rules, the way you can't – like targeting calls and all those things. And the product is still very entertaining. And I'm just thinking about, like, what these players' lives are going to be like compared to, like, what you just talked about when you guys had – it wasn't just – first of all, the games – and things that were legal hits and all that stuff that you guys had to withstand.
It's that damn turf.
That turf that you played on. And then practice. You're talking about like full contact practices every week that these guys don't go through anymore.
Well, and you know, you're talking about two-a-days and pads both days, you know.
Jeez.
And when Marty was here, man, there was nothing less than 3 hours.
I saw that look in your eye when you talk about Thursday practice with Marty.
I mean, I remember back then we used to do, you know, goal line and short yardage live, you know, during the week.
Right.
I mean, we were talking about that. I mean, can you imagine that?
Nope.
Well, just think about how many, like, years that took off of so many guys' careers probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, looking back on it, and it was a different game then, but I guess it's kind of cool that hopefully players will – I mean, it's still a physical game. It's still going to take a toll on these guys.
Well, back to the Ravens right now with their
grind. Right.
And let's face it. I mean, you know, during the week, you know, it's mostly mental, right? But on Sundays, you know, you're going through some physical stuff.
Sure.
I mean, the impacts that are out there, it's just amazing.
It's never going to be a safe game. You're going to take risks. But I do think that the league has made it so much safer.
Right.
In terms of just long-term, what guys can deal with. Because I was thinking about when you were talking about, can you imagine full practice, Deron Cherry and
he lit up Christian Okoye.
Christian Okoye is in full contact in practice, man.
Jake, did you hear that story?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Okoye didn't like that.
No, I don't think anybody liked it.
I can't.
But it's part of the job,
but
right?
You know how we describe it. That's the way it was back then.
Right.
That's all you
part
can
of the
say.
Job.
To play for Marty, it had to be.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He was Marty didn't cut you any slack, man. I played 2 Pro Bowls with Marty as my coach, and every day we had to show up in pads and shoulder pads, helmets for practice in Hawaii. Now this is
in the Pro Bowl.
Enjoy the Pro Bowl.
The season's over.
In the Pro Bowl. Until one year on a Friday, you know, we all decided to leave all our pads back at the locker room.
What did he say?
And showed up at practice. We get off the bus and nobody's got helmets. Nobody's got pads. You could see his face from a mile away. He was steamed. I mean, steamed.
At the Pro Bowl.
Whose idea
at
was
the
this?
Pro Bowl.
Oh, jeez.
And I bring that up because, you know, Sunday I think they're going to do a nice little honor for Marty.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. Deron Cherry is our guest. Okay, I want everyone to go to DeronCherryFoundation.org. And so let's talk about some of these great events you've got coming up. This is the 29th year?
Yes.
29 years. And you help so many different groups in our community. Score One for Health, which provides health screenings for tens of thousands of kids elementary school age to be sure they're healthy. Camp Quality of Greater KC is a year-round program with a highlight. They got summer camp, letting kids with cancer be kids again. Midwest Animal Rescue, the city of Raytown had the highest kill rate in the state of Missouri till Midwest Animal Rescue came in and completely turned this around. Cars for Heroes, veterans and first responders who were down on their luck, who need reliable transportation. They stood up for us, and so now you stand up for them through your foundation. Answering the Call, which was started in 2015 by a Lee Summit officer to be the first to respond to a first responder who was injured or facing illness, with funding to keep things going for them till they're back on their feet again. And just incredible, an incredible job that the Duran Cherry Foundation, your foundation, has done, touching so many people's lives, so many different organizations. And going on right now is the Duran Cherry Happy Birthday Online Auction. And the perfect present that Kansas City can give to Duran Cherry is donating to the foundation, which ends September 12th at midnight. Go to casbid.com, casbid.com/Duran Cherry. casbid.com/Duran Cherry. And so before we talk about the events coming up, man, that's three decades in all these different organizations and worthy causes that you help. Just all for all the great things you did off, on the field, you're doing even more great things off the field. And so tell me about the importance of your foundation, the Duran Cherry Foundation, and all the different people you're able to help.
Yeah, we're so excited. We're really blessed to be able to do what we do, is to help this community out where we think it needs to, you know, have an opportunity to really help people get the assistance that they need through our foundation. We work with some wonderful charities. We help support them. And the interesting thing I think that's come out of all this is the fact that we can work together with all these different organizations and how these other organizations are helping the other organizations. So we can target different folks, like with Cars for Heroes, right? We're giving cars away to veterans and people who are down on their luck are veterans. And we've given away cars all year. And I think from now to the end of the year, we're looking to give away another 30 vehicles.
Wow.
to veterans and first responders. And even, you know, my friend Terry France over there at Car Santa will say, we'll even bend the rules a little bit. And, you know, if we know of nurses who are in the hospitals who have been working during this pandemic, we want to help support those folks too as well. So if you know some quality people out there who are down on their luck and need some transportation, you know, visit cars4heroes.org and, you know, submit an application to get somebody a car. So all those organizations that we support are grateful. I was down at Kansas City University yesterday. They had screenings for one of the elementary schools. And it's good to see all the fruits of your labor over the years. When all these 400 kids come in and get their health screenings, it was a safe environment. They're able to get their height, weight, vision, total body assessment checks. And the important thing was these student doctors are getting that practical experience of working with these young kids and deciding as they're going through medical school how they could, you know, best benefit this community by being there to help screen these kids that, you know, a lot of them might be the first time that they visit a doctor in their life. So the impact that we're making is tremendous, and it's community-wide. So that's a good thing. And Kansas City has blessed us tremendously. We've been doing this for 29 years, and, you know, we couldn't do this without the great support of all of our sponsors that are out there. You know, we host a tournament that's coming up. We've got a gala coming up, our little tailgate party that we have every year. We missed it last year, but we're having it this year. And we're raising money for these groups to support these groups. And we've got a lot of unique events coming up. You know, last year we gave away 11 cars at Veterans Day here in Kansas City. We're going to do that again this year, but we're going to give away 13 to honor the 13 soldiers that were killed recently. So we're truly blessed to be able to have this opportunity to support our community, because it is our community.
And again, you can go to DuronCherryFoundation.org and find out more about all those organizations I mentioned, and donate right there from the website. Get more information about the events coming up. And you're talking about your Duron Cherry Celebrity Tailgate Party, which is already sold out. That's coming up just in a few weeks. You've also got the 2021 Celebrity Golf Tournament that's going to be out at Creekmoor. That's sold out. You've got a whole bunch, about 200 golfers there at Creekmoor coming up, the 29th annual Duron Cherry Celebrity Golf Tournament. There's going to be other events coming up that you could take part in. How about this? November 20th, you're going to do a pickleball tournament. And the party on the Be Amazing party deck at Chicken and Pickle, great friends with them. That's going to be coming up.
I'm going to get signed up for that one.
Oh, jeez.
I was playing pickleball last night.
How competitive are we talking about here? Because, you know, we had a pickleball tournament.
And I play weekly now.
And Jake paired himself with Jared Sutton, who's a Division I athlete. And it was very boastful about what they were going to do. And they lost to the Fox 4 sports department.
Ooh.
And Jake. And it wasn't close.
Right.
Jake.
It was Harold Kuntz and Rob Collins. It was somewhat of a blowout. And so, but tell him the other thing. So this is why you want him in your pickleball tournament. What investment did you make?
Oh, I'm not going to throw the dollar.
Let's throw the dollar.
No.
Duron needs to hear it.
Jake.
Duron needs to hear it.
Jake, how long have we known each other?
Yeah,
seriously. Come on, this is family here, Jake. Come on.
It's like a $170 paddle.
Oh.
Right.
It's hard when people can see Duron Cherry's face on the radio right now.
But we took it. You know, I said, you know, they give you paddles. You don't have, you know. And he goes, no. He wanted the best. He got a case. It's like Minnesota Fats walking into play pool, and he's got everything, and he gets out there.
I played last night.
But it's great when you have that and you win.
I'm telling you, I'm going to get signed up for that.
It's not when you
tournament.
Have that and you lose.
No.
And so can we carve out a spot for him?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you're in, Jake. You're in.
When is the tournament?
November 20th. Pickleball tournament. Jake, we got a spot for you.
Do we want to go through this again?
Sure. Sutton can be my teammate again.
Can I get in on this?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not joking.
Nail, use the paddles they give you.
I'm writing this down.
He's, you know.
I got a paddle.
Well, anybody spends $170 for a paddle.
He's
going to bring something to the table.
The thing that was great was the look on Duron's face was he knew it was going to be a large number.
Right.
Like, he knew it was going to be an expensive paddle. He was prepared that it was going to be a lot of money. And then he heard the price, and he still was like, oh, wow, that was even more than I thought.
Chicken and Pig was saying, my guy's going to win and everything else. Well, then when we get Fox Force Sports, put it on him.
Wow.
Harold Kuntz stole the show. Rob Collins stole the show. And he comes
out. I'm a different player now.
Well, I don't know that you are.
Well, what do you expect from a guy that goes out in the wilderness?
Right.
3 months by himself.
You don't know what he's got.
Getting in touch with himself. I mean, come on.
It's unbelievable.
Come on.
So, November 20th is the pickleball tournament.
I wrote it down.
And you can get all the information and learn more at DuronCherryFoundation.org.
I hope so.
And then there's going to be Tee Shots Golf with Sports Legends of KC in February, February 6th, 2022. And then April 29th, 2022, Golf with Guns, Powder Creek Shooting Park, all kinds of stuff coming up to raise money for our community with the Duron Cherry Foundation. Go to DuronCherryFoundation.org.
I might have to get my cousin together and see if we can enter this pickleball tournament too. See if we can take Jake down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that with that fancy paddle.
Yeah, you don't worry about winning it. You just worry about taking me down. See, you're small potatoes. I'm worrying about getting the trophy.
Is there a competition?
Oh, it's a competition. There's a round robin tournament. There's a winner that's crowned.
So you know how how Bieniemy called Patrick Mahomes a competitive prick. Right, that's that right there.
Oh,
that's
good.
What he is.
Yeah, no, my girlfriend and I got into it.
That's not a surprise whatsoever.
Last night, yeah.
About what?
about pickleball.
What about pickleball?
She got the score wrong, and then she said she was right, and then she called one of my shots out, and it was clearly in. So then I called her shot out, and she said, oh, that's how it's going
to
be.
And talk to Chris and talk to
your
everyone.
Girlfriend?
Right.
Oh,
make
we
sure
live together,
you talk
too.
To them before you before you say yes to this, because this is, he brings a lot to the table, and some of it you don't want.
I got a guy you can talk to.
All right. There we go. Please set that up.
Well, and then she's like, I'm nervous to call the shots out now. And I said, if you're just honest, you don't have to worry about that. You know.
Shouldn't intimidate the judges and everything. You can't have that. But again, all the if you're interested in any of these events, I'm sure you guys look for volunteers at these events
yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well. Or if you just want to, you know what, like it's Durant. What was the actual date of your birthday?
September 12th.
See? Right here. Just an early birthday present. Maybe you want some presents, but you want people to donate
absolutely.
To the Durant Cherry Foundation. That's the biggest present you could get, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And the other present you want is to him to be out there November 20th with his brand new racket. So he can really bring the heat. So DurantCherryFoundation.org. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll get Durant's official prediction for Chiefs and Browns. And, boy, Tim Grunhard is just walked in. We'll ask him if he remembers.
Yeah.
Any of Marty's practices that you were talking about on Thursdays. Those were some good stories, especially with you knocking Christian. I can't wait to ask Christian Okoye about that. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. We got some crossover here. Tim Grunhardt's here early, as he always is.
Red Friday.
Here with Duron Cherry on Red Friday. I don't know if you heard the story of Duron talking about coming back from his knee injury and wanting to test himself in a Thursday practice. Marty Schottenheimer, and he put a big hit on Christian Okoye, and Christian did not like it. But you know what? Duron had to find out where he was. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about that with somebody that how on Wednesday and Thursday, our practices were actually harder than the game.
Yes.
I mean, we were out there for three and a half hours going against, you know, Bill Moss and Dan Salyamua and Dino Hackett, and those guys were flying around and drawn, and that secondary that was as good as any secondary the Chiefs have had in a long, long time. This one's getting close, but they're not quite there yet. But I will tell you this, you go into the game, Duron, and you'd be like, wow, this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Especially with Marty practices, right? He'd keep you out there until the lights were coming on.
I mean, think about it, Duron. We had our 9-on-7, our 1-on-1s. You guys would really go at it on 1-on-1s. Mm-hmm. And then we'd always have, like, you know, a couple team periods, whether it was red zone or 2-minute or blitz period or just a team period with different situations. And, man, remember he said, okay, guys, this is green.
Yeah, this
green.
Is green. Green, yeah. Live.
Green meant live.
And then on one of those days, you have that goal line session. I mean, goal line.
And that was always green. Remember that?
Always green. Short yardage and goal line.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, you know, I'm sitting here just listening to you guys talk about going to the game and how excited you are to go to the game on Sunday. You know, and like, I think about, like, what it's like for us, you know, lifelong Chiefs fans to watch this team finally be every year now Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl or bust. You guys, all the blood, sweat, and tears you put into this football team, you got to love this to be able to go out there and see where they are now, know they've won a championship. They might win a few more championships with Patrick Mahomes. And I'm listening to you guys, and I can just hear the love you still have for this organization and what it means to you to go out there and watch this team perform at such a high level now.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, last night they had the opening of the Hall of Honors, and what a special place. I mean, Kansas City will be mesmerized by what they'll get an opportunity to see in this new Hall of Honors. It's amazing. The touch tone stuff. They've got the history of every player that played in the organization. There's a video and a picture of them and all this information about them. It was just amazing. And they had some, you know, a lot of the players that were there last night, and Clark Hunt spoke. And it's just truly a gift to Kansas City from the Hunt family. And I tell you, you'll be impressed when you see it.
And how about this guy now? He's going to be with you in the Chiefs Hall of Fame.
You know, that's the thing. You know, he's going to see his bust that's going to be on display in that Hall of Honors. I'm so happy for him. I mean, truly, he deserves it. And just excited for him when he gets to see that bust on display.
Maybe you can't talk about it. Is there an initiation where you guys like kidnap him in a van and take him somewhere and like
we would tell him he'd have to have to sing his fight song, but nobody likes Notre Dame, so we ain't gonna no fight song out there.
I'm singing the usual.
It's so funny. I've been reflecting a little bit as I've just been kind of thinking, okay, what can I say? I mean, there's so much to say, and there's so many people to thank, and you know, so blessed to be a part of that great Hall of Honor and Ring of Fame that, you know, looking up and seeing those names of all these great football players. And, you know, drafted here in 1990, I wasn't only drafted to a team, but drafted to a family.
Right, absolutely.
And drafted to a city that just loves its sports and loves its team and was just so blessed. I mean, you know, there was a 1-in-32 chance in the second round that I was going to get drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, and it worked out. It was just been such a blessing for me and my family. But, you know, the one thing that I love about this team, and Jaron, I know you could speak on this also, that the older guys, there was a point here maybe 10, 15 years ago when the older guys, the younger guys, didn't seem like they meshed as well. When I came in here, guys like Daron Cherry and Jonathan Hayes and Dave Lutz and John Ault, I mean, they taught us what it was like to be a professional, to be a pro, to play for the Kansas City Chiefs, how important that was. And I see that now with Travis. And I see that now with Patrick Mahomes. And I see that now with
Tyron Matthew.
And that's so important. And I think that's why this organization is where it's at. Because, I mean, the tradition of the Kansas City Chief football players passing on the love and commitment to their teammates is so important.
Yeah. Daron, happy early birthday from Sports Radio 810.
Thank you.
Go to DaronCherryFoundation.org to get information on all the stuff we talked about.
Real quick, what was it, in June? We went and played golf over
Sand Hills.
A buddy of mine bought a great trip to Sand Hills, and Daron and I played, and it was for the organization. And I can't remember the guy's name who hosted us.
C.R. Hall.
What an unbelievable deal that was. And, Daron, I want to thank you.
Yeah.
And anytime you have an opportunity to buy in or get in an auction item from one of Daron Cherry's auctions for his foundation, get into it because it is an awesome, awesome time. It is top-notch.
DaronCherryFoundation.org to get all the information. Daron, it's going to be your birthday. So what's the score going to be on your birthday on Sunday?
I think the Chiefs are going to win 32-20.
Oh, that's a cover. That's a cover. We're leaning on the covers. Let's go. 32-20, says Daron Cherry. Daron,
it's going to be some scoring, I guarantee you.
Let's go. Daron, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
you. Thank you for everything you do in the community. DaronCherryFoundation.org.
Why is Daron out before me? Now everybody's going to turn it off because I'm on and Daron's leaving.
Now we're going to get you to cuss and tell more stories.
Right. Oh,
people
boy.
Are ready to go.
Oh, boy.
DaronCherryFoundation.org. That's Daron Cherry. We'll be back after this on Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mm-hmm.